working. People who would take very hard stances scientifically. You know, it's interesting because you can't prove everything by science. You can't prove the world. You can't. No one lives their life thinking, you know, if I can't scientifically prove it, then it's not true. And people will say that, but they don't actually believe it. They don't actually live that way. You know, there's so many things that we have to presuppose in order to exist. Like Brother Bam talks about the all armor of God is supernatural. So faith, love, all the virtues, all the things in the Bible that we're called to gain and be a part of, all those things are supernatural. So, and even the way that let's say like even, you know, the love you have for your friends or your parents or the relationship you have with people, or even the idea that, you know, other people have their own wants and desires and needs, and you have to take that into account with interacting with people. All those things can't be proven scientifically, but we all act as if they exist. And even, you know, moral truths, like, you know, people shouldn't kill other people, and that's not something that can be scientifically proven, but we all believe it and know it to be true, that you know, generally that's not a good thing. So people don't live their lives, you know, it's odd that people will have this hard stance on science, but they don't actually live their lives, you know, according to those principles. It's only when it comes to God that they think that's a valid way of criticizing God or his existence or whether or not he exists. But when they live their day-to-day lives, no one lives their day-to-day life based on what they can scientifically prove. And Brother Branham is touching on how, you know, everything's becoming more scientific. People are trying to become more rational, but it's odd because people inherently aren't rational. People naturally are not inclined to rationality. And yet when it comes to, you know, God, Satan put that seed of doubt in there so that people can think, oh, well, rationally, this shouldn't be this and this shouldn't be that. So they think that, well, if it doesn't make perfect rational sense or if it can't be scientifically proven, then I don't need to follow it. I don't need to adhere to it. But there's many areas of their life where they don't use that same rationality. So the scientific issue is not the issue with science, but it's the issue of the heart of somebody. If someone's heart is off, if someone's heart is not in the Word, if someone's heart is not in submission to God, then they're going to look at things as an excuse to prove why you know it's not working out for them or why they don't have to do it. But someone who's willing to surrender to God, someone who's willing to come to God humbly, is not going to have those same problems with rationality and trying to rationalize everything and make everything, you know, to a logical point. And Brother Bam says, Dr. F.F. Bosworth, one of my first managers, wrote a book called Looking at the Unseen. Now, many of you has read it, no doubt. It's a very fine book, The Looking at the Unseen. The Christians look at things he does not see. Now let's just take the armor of Christianity and see if it's supernatural. Love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, patience. Everything is supernatural. Love, go down to the drugstore and buy me a quarter's worth of love. I need it. See, you couldn't do it. But me, buy me a dollar's worth of peace. You couldn't do it. See, everything is supernatural. The whole armor of God is supernatural. His church is supernatural. It's not an organization. It's a supernatural body that men and women are born into by the Holy Spirit in its simple way. God doesn't make things complicated of so many rosaries. So once again, you know, even you could even ask people who are in the world who aren't Christian, you know, do you think love, joy, and peace are valuable things? And they'd likely say yes, but those are not things that can be rationalized or scientifically proven. You know, people often have this... you know, everyone's looking for love. People would still get married, even if people who aren't Christians, who don't believe in God, they still get married. They still believe in love. They still believe in, you know, happiness and joy. They still believe in having, you know, enjoying your time here on earth. But those things cannot be proven rationally. And yet when people come to the scriptures and they come to God, all of a sudden everything needs to be rational and scientifically proven. But yet people don't live their lives this way. And so it's that contradiction is sparked by the heart issue. And Brother Bam talks about this a lot when, you know, he receives questions or situations are brought to him where, you know, people are saying they're struggling with this or they're having a hard time with this. And he's saying that, you know, it's really a heart issue. And a lot of these issues that we're having are heart issues, that we're not fully surrendered. It's not that we're not fully bought into the idea. We're not humbling ourselves and coming to God in the correct way. And if we get rid of these heart issues, then we can receive what, you know, what we're looking for, what we desire, what we're praying for, if we get our heart right. And the same for people, you know, trying to make everything scientific and rational. You know, it's really a heart issue. It's not about science. It's not about rationality. It's not about what can be proven, because they don't live their lives by proof. No one does. But it's about their heart issue. It's that they don't want to surrender, and that's where the real issue is. It's not in God can't be scientifically proven, but it's in that they don't want to surrender to the will of God, and they don't have faith. They lack faith. They lack understanding. They lack the due diligence to actually search the scriptures. You know, there's many people. I always find it odd. There's many people who quote many different scriptures, and they've never read the actual Bible, so they're quoting a scripture and they don't actually know what it means, and they think it's an evidence of, you know, why God is wrong or why Christianity is false, but they haven't read the whole book. They haven't read the Bible. They're just quoting. They just heard someone else quote that scripture, and now they want to repeat it. And you know, it's unfortunate, because it's not because even in when they're quoting that scripture, they've not done any their due research. They've not done the reading, they've not actually done the research, but they've just heard someone else say something and then they repeat it. And it's because they've already made up their mind, and that's the real issue, is that it's just a heart issue. They've already made up their mind about what they believe, and they don't want to believe the Bible, they don't want to believe in God. So then they take things out of context intentionally to, you know, make it look bad. And that's why it's all by faith. Brother Branham, and the Bible says that, you know, faith is a substance. And Brother Bam talks about that, and how, you know, if you have faith, it's just as real. It is real. If you have faith, if you believe it truly. And even God said, you know, just a mustard seed of faith can move a mountain. So if you have that amount of faith, and it's pure faith, it's real faith, then, you know, that is evidence. That is a substance. And there's nothing else that we need to check it by any signs, by any man's ways. And things are going to be discerned spiritually. It's not going to be discerned by science. It's not going to be discerned by logic. It's going to be discerned by the Spirit of God. And Brother Branham says, you know, being born into the Holy Spirit, it's being born into the family spiritually, supernaturally. And he goes on to say, and so many this and join this, and so much education, so much theology, we get ourselves further and further away from God all the time by doing so. Today we're so scientific till we can tell how many molecules it takes to make an atom, how many electrons and so forth, and split that atom and tell you how it's done, and make an atomic bomb, and then we can explain how we've done it. But walk over a blade of grass that we cannot explain. So there's many theories and logical, you know, things, but your Brother Branham's talking about how even a simple blade of grass, we can't explain the life in that. Science can't explain why the life exists. And that's why there's all these theories about, like, the Big Bang theory, and all these different theories about, you know, why existence exists. And you can get very philosophical, I guess, and there's many long debates on that. But we can't, we there's so many things that we just can't account for. So there's so many things people try to prove by science and lean to science, but we can't account for why life exists and all these different things. And people just want to lean towards science, and they want to doubt, so they don't want to surrender. If you come humbly, as the scripture says, to come humbly, even if you don't understand everything, God will reveal certain things to you. He'll give you what you need. He'll give you an experience. And even though you can't always maybe explain that experience the right way to someone else who doesn't believe, but if you have an experience with God, then no one can take that experience away from you, which is why it's so important to get born again, is to have that personal experience and revelation of who God is. And then, you know, you'll be like a tree planted by the water, and you won't move because you have a real experience. If you don't have an experience, then someone might be able to come with a scientific argument and try to convince you away from it. And it might sound right. It might sound, you know, it might sound solid, but as the scripture says, these things are spiritually discerned. So they're discerned by the Spirit. It's not going to be discerned by a scientific argument or statement. In verse 15, says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So if you're spiritual, you know, it's not that man judges you, it's that God will judge you. It's not because if we think that, you know, everything is physically here and you know, we obey the laws of man, then, you know, then man can judge us. But if we're in the Spirit, and we know that, you know, God is our only judge, and that we follow the will of God, then, you know, the world can think what they want of us, but the only one who can really judge us truly is going to be the Lord. Especially if you have an actual experience with Him, then you're going to know who He is, and He can judge you, you know, according to His word. But if you don't have that, then you're gonna live by man's laws. You're gonna live by, you know, the world, and you're gonna see things happening in the world. And that's why people are so upset by the things happening in the world, because they don't see anything outside of the world. They don't see anything past this. They just see this, and they see, I think the world's going up in flames. They think World War III is gonna happen. They think all these things. But we know that, you know, our mind is always going to be towards the spiritual things. And that's why we have that peace. That's where the peace comes from. That's where our confidence comes from. Our confidence in God and where we're going, and that he has control of our life, and that, you know, He's guiding our lives. And Brother Branham says, and now today we're trying to educate people to that, the scientific approach to God, and you can't do that. God is known not by science, but by faith. We know God. And I'd say this, that a man can sit down and look at a bunch of flowers, a bouquet, and study that 30 minutes sincerely with all his heart, and know more about God than he did know, than he did if he know had all the degrees that a Bible school could give him for God reveals himself in the flower. We see it die and rise again, resurrection. We see two or three different colors in the same species of flower. Where did that coloring come from? Explain it to me. How did it get there? Where does it go, and how does it get back again? How does that seed have to die and rot and come back again? God showing himself in simplicity, then hiding himself again in death, to show himself again in the resurrection. See, it's just, you don't have to know a whole lot. The only thing you have to know is to have faith in what you're looking at, what you're believing. See, believe 1 hour would really prove it, would teach you more about God than all the degrees you could have. So, and that's the good thing about the word, is that, you know, by man's ways, you'd have to know so much, you'd have to go to school, you'd have to be so educated to understand the really deep things and complex things, you know, especially if you want to go into physics or astronomy, and there's so many different, or calculus, all those different hard maths and hard sciences, and you have to be so educated, and it's very struggling to do a lot of studying for many years. But God, He doesn't make you go through all those hoops. He just says, believe it, you know, believe it, and just have faith, and just listen to the word, adhere to the word, and surrender yourself. You come humbly, and you surrender, and you believe it, then, you know, the things will be rewarded unto you. And a lot of, let's say, other religions will try and, you know, they do things by works, and they do things by, you have to do this, you have to, you know, pray seven times a day, you have to, you know, walk around here, you have to set up these certain candles and beads and all these different things they do. But Martin Luther came and said, the just shall live by faith. You know, the Catholic Church are trying to sell all these things and these programs, and here's your ticket into heaven, and you have to buy this, and you have to do this. And you go to the priest and say, I've done this, and he gives you a list of things to do. But Martin Luther just came and said, the just shall live by faith. It's not that we have to do all these things and all these works, and we have to climb these stairs and go to the church and do all these different ordinances, but it's just that we have faith, and that we believe in what God said, and we believe in the Bible, you know, and we believe in His word, and not that He wants us to fulfill all these different things, but he just wants us to believe and accept it, and then He'll lead us and guide us into all truth. So it's not, the church doesn't have a monopoly on, you know, on the Holy Ghost, and they give it out when they feel like you're worthy. But it's that God is the only source of it. The church can never give it to you. That's why the membership and the organization that, you know, that Jesus was against, that Martin Luther was against, all those things, they just don't work. But God works through His way and not through man's ways. And that's why these things are spiritually discerned. And Brother Branham goes on to say, God is so great He can make Himself simple. Now that's what makes God great to me, is how He can make Himself simple, and that for doing Himself, He hides Himself from the smart and wise. Now just think of that. He hides Himself from the smart people and reveals Himself to the humble people. The Bible said in Isaiah 35, even though a foolish should not err in the way, it's so simple. As you try to figure it out and study it out, you just figure away from God. Every time you do that, you just get yourself further and further away. Quit trying to figure it out. Just believe what He said. That's all there is to it. Just believe. And then hides Himself from the wise, shows Himself to the simple man. Can't be that big. And man, as soon as he gets himself a degree of some sort, he knows more than the next fellow. You can't tell him nothing. The churches today like to brag on their pastor because he was a student of a, you know, certain cemetery. So things like this is where, you know, when a man or a person makes himself a great figure, or they have a lot of power or money, you know, they can't, they almost can't hide. You know, when someone has a lot of money, everyone knows who they are. When someone has a lot of power, everyone knows who they are. When someone has a high political office, everyone knows who they are. If they're a celebrity, if they're an actor, actress, everyone's going to know about them, and they're just going to be front page news. They're going to be in the headlines, the ABC, you know, celebrity list or whatever it is. Everyone's going to know. If they're a talented singer, everyone has to know. But when God it reveals himself in his greatness, you know, he doesn't have to make a big deal about it. He doesn't have to make a big show about it. He just is great. He's great in his simplicity. And that's why the things are hidden from the wise and prudent, from the high profile, from the noblemen, as the Bible says. It's hidden from those people, but it's revealed to the simple and humble people. So it's not about the big showiness, not about, you know, the mega churches, it's not about how many people we can get in the church, but it's about how many, you know, souls can we convert to Christ. It's not just about getting people together or being really popular, but it's just about, in simplicity, you know, doing what we can for God. And God works in simplicity, even in his greatness, even in all the things he does, even he's the almighty, all-powerful God. He came down in human flesh, and he didn't have a place to lay his head. He was born in a manger, you know, where the animals were. There was no room in the inn. I mean, and it's so contrary to how men believe, because that's why they were so confused when he came, because when a man is great, he has to have, you know, wear all the gold, and he has to be maybe a loudspeaker, a charismatic, and he has to be, you know, maybe a very handsome. But the Bible says, you know, he wasn't anything to look at, really. He was just a simple, you know, looked like a normal guy. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He wasn't rich in any way, but that was Almighty God in flesh, and he just looked like a simple man. So how much more, you know, us as him being our example, that we just need to be simple and humble people and live simple, humble lives and just do what we can for God and not try to make a big deal out of ourselves, not try to make a big show out of anything, but just to do what we can for God. You know, when we give things, you know, when we give gifts, or maybe just not to make a big deal out of it, not to want a bunch of attention, and to give with the right intention in mind, to give just for the sake of giving. You know, to do something for someone just for the sake of doing it, just because, you know, that's what our Lord would have done. That's the example that Christ set before us. And not to be flashy and arrogant and boastful, but just to do things in a humble and simple way, you know, the way that God intends for us to do, and just to live humble lives. And, you know, there's so much value in just doing things for the people around you. And it seems that there's this idea, I don't know if it's the American idea or if it's general to the world, but there's this idea that people just want to, you know, they want to change the world, and they want to, you know, they want to go out and do something, and they want to be this revolutionary, or they want to, just that idea of changing the world. And really, you know, there's so much that can be gained from just changing the people around you and being a help and being a kind person to the people around you, and how much influence that can spread. You know, if you're good to someone, you know, that person might come to revelation or come to something that could help them in their lives, and then they can spread that to other people. And if all those people have kids, and they can, you know, indoctrinate and have those healthy habits instilled to their kids as well. And there's so much you can do just by focusing on your immediate circle and how much good you can do in that small area. And when people, you know, they want to change the world, but they forget to, you know, they sometimes forget to just be a good influence in the small circle that they have. And maybe it's because of the internet, maybe it's because of social media, maybe it's because there's so much you can do. You know, anyone can pick up a phone and go viral in a day. But there's so much value in just doing what you can for the people around you, and how that can impact their lives personally, and how they can spread that, you know, personally in their lives to other people. So sometimes it's not, we just need to focus less on the big flashy things and going viral and all those things. We need to focus more on just the people that we know, the people around us, our friends, our brothers, sisters, our parents, the church members, and just focus on our immediate influence and try to be a good Christian example for the people around us, instead of trying to change the world all the time. And you know, because God just did what he could for the people around him, for people who would listen, and people who would come humbly and maybe people who weren't even Christians, you know, they were just Gentiles. They didn't believe. They probably didn't dress according to the scriptures. They didn't act according to the scriptures. But God saw that they were humble, and he decided to minister to them, and they received it. And it was just that simple. So that's all we have time for today. God bless you.